Into hour number two. All right, so I started hour number one. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I said in hour number one that I would have back-to-back interviews in hour number two, so make the most of the opportunity. Make it an open phone first hour, and it pretty much could not have gone any worse in that regard. Chiefs fans tried to call the show, got all hyped up, all amped up, and just lost it. Man, imploded on the side of the jungle wall. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Browns head coach Freddie Kitchens coming up next segment. But let me start this hour off by talking NFL draft. We are joined right now by a former linebacker for Michigan. He was an All-American, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, Big Ten Linebacker of the Year, 79 tackles, 9 tackles for a loss, 5 sacks this season. The 2019 NFL Draft is coming up on April 25th through the 27th. It is in Nashville. Devin Bush is my guest. Devin, it's great to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
How you doing?
Good, man. Good. How about you?
I'm doing good. You know, living.
That's the truth, man. That is the answer right there. Listen, last month you made the announcement that you were going to enter the NFL draft. So kind of take us through the decision-making process. What was that like, and then how did it feel once you finally made that decision?
Yes, sir. Process was just, you know, it was a lot of thinking, you know, a lot of reflecting, a lot of life decision and grown man decision. You know, you have to announce that to your teammates. You got to announce that to your coaches, and you know you announce that to your loved ones. So, you know, it's just a lot of thinking about, you know, making that next step, and you know, a lot of it goes into, you know, your life is about to change, and it affects a lot of people. So, you know, you really got to think about yourself, but at the same time, you got to think about how you can affect others with the decision. But you know, once I got closer to my decision, I got more confident in it. You know, once I you know, set in stone and released it, and I was, you know, entering the draft, and you know, I just feel like the weight was lifted off my shoulders. You know, I was free to, you know, go off and do things that I wanted to do to get ready for this draft.
Devin Bush joining us. All right, you know, I had Julian Love on the program from Notre Dame earlier this week, and he said that part of the reason for entering the draft this year was because he realized how many games he had already played in college. You talked about the fact that you had suffered an injury, and it helped you realize how fleeting the sport can be. What was it like to realize that, and then how much does that motivate you going forward?
Yeah, it was just a lot, you know, getting hurt in the Ohio State game, and, you know, I wasn't able to even walk for, like, a week. So, you know, it just makes you think, like, man, could I go back and I can do this for a whole year? You know, who knows, I may hurt the hip again or anything else could happen. And, you know, you just work so hard for the sport and, you know, for the university. And, you know, once you get a chance at, you know, pursuing your dreams, man, you gotta take a leap of faith with that.
Devin Bush, my guest. Now, listen, I don't need to tell you this. You know exactly how this process goes because your father played in the league. But as part of the process, you know, folks will try to pick you apart, try to come up with any little flaw that they can find in your game. So how do you personally approach that? Do you ignore all of that? Or is that the kind of thing that maybe you can use as fuel and motivation?
Yeah, that's just something, you know, to pick up and laugh about, you know, joke around. Because, I mean, everybody has their own opinions, you know, everybody has something to say about you, and, you know, that just comes with the sport, that just comes with the type of person, you know, you are, the type of business you put yourself into. But, man, you don't take those things to heart. You know, the thing that really matters is how you feel about yourself and how your peers feel about you.
Devin Bush, my guest. You know, it's a great answer. Now, I would say this. One of the knocks in the past has been that you might not be the tallest guy in the field, but your D coordinator, Don Brown, said, quote, "I've had people say, well, you know, he's not 6'2", but he is the fastest, meanest guy on the field," end quote. So does that sound about right to you? And if so, how much pride do you take in the fact that you are the fastest, meanest guy on the field?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that sounds 100% accurate. I mean, you know, I just take pride in my game, and I take pride in, you know, my preparation. And, you know, I go out there and, you know, I play to win. That's where it all starts from, man. I love to play the game, and I love to win.
Yeah, and there's a certain intensity that comes in the way you approach it and the way you play the game. I mean, is that coming from the love of the game? Where does the intensity come from? And the sport itself, what does football mean to you?
Football is my whole life. I've been around football, you know, since I was born. And, you know, my father playing, my uncle playing, and my cousins playing. And, you know, I've just always been around the game. So, I mean, it just comes from loving the game so much and being around it so long and putting so much into it. You know, I just love the game. You know, it just makes me who I am today.
Devin Bush getting ready for the draft. Now, your father was a safety at Florida State. Your father was a national champion. He was a first-round pick. He was a Super Bowl winner. The story goes that even when you were just four, you knew what you wanted to do. You wanted to play football, but your dad said, you got to wait till you're seven. What did you like about the game, even at such a young age? Do you even remember back then what it was like? And just take me back. What was that time like?
I don't remember too much. All I know is I had a dad that on Sundays put on a uniform and put on a helmet, and I would go watch him play, you know, a game, and after, you know, he'll be my dad again. I thought everybody dad does that. You know, as I grew up, I come to find out, you know, not a lot of people get to do that. That's something special. So I mean, from right then and there, I kind of knew what I wanted to do, and I think I fell in love with the game just by watching him play it, and it just looked so fun to me. And, you know, once he introduced me to it, you know, it was love at first sight.
Yes, that's the thing. You said you fell in love with the game as love at first sight, and that's interesting because your dad said, you can play the game, but do not play the game because of me. You have to play the game only out of love. What did he mean by that? Why was that so important?
Yeah, I mean, if you play the game for somebody else, you know, you're not doing it for yourself. And this game is so hard, you know, it's so mentally tough and so physically tough, that if you don't love it, you know, it's so easy to give it up, and it's so easy to walk away from it. So if you're going to play this game, you're going to play all into this game, it's because you love the game and that you want to do it.
All right, so a couple of things before you go. Your father also coached your high school team, and in 2015, you won the Class 8A state championship. The two of you kind of hugged it out at midfield after the game, and he told you he loved you, that he was proud of you, that you're a hell of a player. Again, this is a proud man. This is a tough man. This guy who had a great career. What did that moment mean to you? Do you ever think back on it?
Yeah, always, man. That was one of a very special moment, you know, in my lifetime. I'm never going to forget. You know, we've been on this journey together since, like you said, I was 3 years old, and you know, to win a state title, you know, the first time in school history, you know, with my father being along my side, you know, that just meant everything to me. And, you know, I was getting ready to go to college anyway. So, I mean, it was almost like a leaving party for me. And, you know, for him to say that and be that proud of me, you know, meant everything to me.
Former Michigan linebacker Devin Bush getting ready for the draft. And then finally, you tweeted your announcement that you were going to enter the draft. And Derek Brooks responded, quote, "Let's go, nephew." Listen, there are a few people in that sport. In fact, Devin, I'd say there are a few people on this planet that I respect more than Derek Brooks. He was at that state championship game. He goes back a long way with your father. What's it like being around Derek?
Yeah, man, that's living legend, man. That's one of those guys you look up to, and you're like, man, I hope I can do the same thing he did. And, you know, for him to be in my corner, for him to actually be my godfather, you know, I can always turn to him and anything I need, any advice I need, you know, I could turn to him and I'd get the best advice in the world.
It's a great resume. An All-American, a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, Big Ten Linebacker of the Year, and he made the announcement he's coming out for the NFL Draft. Devin Bush, my guest. Devin, great to have you on. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
I will be looking for you once you get there.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Devin Bush, appreciate you a lot. Good to have a good Michigan man on the program. An All-American, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I like him a lot. You knew it. Right when he answered that first question, you knew he was going to be really good. I mean, we know what he's about as a player, obviously. But good to have a good Michigan man on this show. And he's getting ready for the upcoming NFL draft. Speaking of having a good man on this program, look who's coming up next. America's coach. He's America's coach because that's Batman.
I'm Batman.
That's America's crime fighter right there. He's got pepperoni nipples, according to one of you. Freddie Kitchens is the head coach of the team that I've re-glossed, America's team. I love the Browns. Freddie Kitchens is their new head coach, and he joins us next segment. This email says, Romy. This goes back to last hour. So I'm trying to get the Chiefs fans in here because this means everything. They've got a game, the AFC Championship game, for the first time in more than 50 years. They're hosting it. This is everything. So I'm trying to get Chiefs fans in here to describe what it's like right now. How do they feel? What's the vibe like in the town? And I went back to back with two calls, and they both imploded. One guy calls up and says, by the time we're done with the Patriots, Tom Brady can go home and, quote, make out with his kids forever.
This town is on 11. It's going to be crazy. Tom Brady's last game, he can go home and make out with his kids forever.
This town is on 11. It's Tom Brady's last game. First of all, it's not Tom Brady's last game, right? If they lose, he's not going out on a loss. And if he wins, then he's got the Super Bowl. I mean, if there's one thing I would bet, it's a really tough weekend to bet, but I'd bet anything that it's not Tom Brady's last game. Short of him losing a leg in the game, it's not going to be his last game. The other thing that I would bet, he's not going to go home and make out with his kids. Not for a minute, and certainly not forever. But at least that guy made it on the air. The next guy that I went to couldn't figure out how to hear me through the radio and the phone, and he never even made it to air. So we're trying to fix that. Chiefs fans, get yourselves together. I'm looking for somebody to buck the 0-4-2 trend. Let's go back to Kansas City. This time, Vince in KC. Come on now, Vince, what's up? How are you?
Pimp, first time, long time. I've been listening to your show for 20 years. I really appreciate the Vine.
Good.
I know you're great. I don't have to ask. We are gripping hard in Kansas City. Maybe not as hard as last week, but we still are gripping hard. We've got a quarterback, finally, who's humble. He's smart. He lets everybody else take credit. This guy is unbelievable. And as far as the Patriots go, I'm not going to lay any smack on them. They're the greatest. But every time you get to the top, you got to come back down. And I think it's our time now. Also, if you would please tell the monkey to quit jerking with my show, you need to smack him. Yesterday, you weren't even on around here. So I'm glad you gave me the time. I really appreciate you. Thanks for the limb. And tell all the drones, peace out.
Nice job, except for the drones. But nice job, though, Vince. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. He just said it best. He said that we are gripping, not as hard as we were last week, but we're still gripping because we know the Pats are coming in and they're the best. But what's different now is we've got our guy. We've got our guy under center. We got our quarterback. He's smart. He's humble. The guy makes plays. He can make every last throw. And to tell the monkey to stop jerking with the show that we were not on yesterday, this goes way back. You know, I try to be more respectful now than when I was a younger guy and used to take runs at the monkeys. Monkey back in the day, and notice I don't do it so much anymore. In fact, I don't do it at all. Back in the day, I would refer to program directors who messed with this show as monkeys. Like any monkey can do this. Just set the show up, turn it on, leave it alone for 3 hours, then turn it off, and you will win. And we will all do well. You will do well. I will do well. Your listeners will do well. Your sponsors will do well. Any monkey can do that. Of course, I said a lot of things like that when I was in my 20s, early 30s, hell, early 40s. I probably did a little bit of that. When we come back, Freddie Kitchens. Nice job, Chiefs fan. That's how you do it. In sports, there are smart moves. And then there are moves that are not very smart, like calling a timeout to set up a final TD attempt. That's smart. Calling a timeout with no timeouts left, not smart. The same thing is true when you're hiring. There are smart ways and not so smart ways to get things done, like job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes, not smart. Posting a job on ZipRecruiter and letting them find the right candidates for you, that is smart. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes. It identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and then actively invites them to apply. This way you get qualified candidates and you get them fast. It's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. based on Trustpilot rating of hiring sites that have at least 1,000 reviews. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. It's an amazing service. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/ROME. If you're looking for a smart way to find the right talent for your team, do what I do. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rome today. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. My thanks to Devin Bush. He declared for the NFL draft, and as I mentioned, we're going back-to-back. Moving right through hour number two, we are joined right now by the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He's coached in the NFL for the past 13 seasons. He was named running backs coach on January 24th, 2018. He was named offensive coordinator on October 29th, 2018. He was named head coach on January 12th, 2019. The Browns coming off a 7-8-1 season. We are joined by their head coach, Freddie Kitchens. Freddie, it's great to have you on the show. Nice to have you. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing great, coach. I'm doing great. So you were named head coach on Saturday. What was the first week of being an NFL head coach like for you?
I'll tell you, we spent the first week just trying to get our staff together, which is, I think, the most important part of being a head coach, especially for the first time, is surrounding yourself by good people, good coaches, and good teachers. So that's what we've been trying to do.
You know, I know you're looking for a good teacher because you've talked about it yourself, and I'll get to that in a minute. Look, I got to be honest. I'm not supposed to play favorites. They don't pay me to cheer or to pick favorites. But I've taken a liking to you because of a lot of things that you say. You said something that I thought was outstanding. You said, quote, "Cleveland and I get along well." It's a great statement. What is it about you and that city that makes it such a good fit?
It's just simply, Jim, one of the things is, you know, I grew up down the street from a steel mill, and I saw the smokestack and the white smoke billowing out of it every day of my life, you know, growing up. And I almost moved to Akron. My dad worked for Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company and almost moved to Akron. One of those times he was laid off. And, you know, so just, I don't know, just the environment, the community here is just a lot like I grew up in, just hardworking people that are just trying to get better.
Freddie Kitchens joining us. I'm glad you mentioned your dad. You mentioned that he was a tire maker at Goodyear Tire and Rubber Plant in Gadsden, Alabama. You also referenced that Benjamin E. May said that those who start behind the game in life must run faster to catch up. And I feel like I've been running fast my whole life. I mention that again because, Freddie, a lot of people in your situation, it seems to me, might feel like they started behind and they can't catch up. You didn't just catch up. You ran by everybody. How do you explain it? Where did that motivation and that drive come from?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with the chance, Jim, you know, and the opportunity and things like that. You never know when your opportunity is going to come, but under no circumstances did I ever want the opportunity to come the way it did. But, you know, you've got to make the most of any opportunity you get, and I tried to do that. But the kicker to that is you have to be ready and prepared for it when you get it because you don't ever know when it's going to come. You know, so that's the way it went.
You know, the kicker was, Freddie, that maybe it wasn't going to come. I mean, you referenced this also in the presser, but after your playing career at Alabama ended, you were in Tuscaloosa, you were selling cars, you were doing really well, making a lot of money, and then on top of that, you had a side hustle going on, you were washing FedEx trucks on the weekend, and you would listen to Alabama football on the radio to the point where it nearly brought you to tears. I mean, what were those days like, and when did you first make the decision, I'm doing fine, but I've got to be back in football. Football's a part of my life.
Well, really, it just came about. A guy by the name of Rick Trickett was the offensive line coach at Auburn, and Terry Bowden had just gotten fired. And I was sitting at home watching the news and saw where he got the job, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to give coaching a whirl. And I did. I loved it. And, you know, like I said the other day, it never was the fact I wanted to be a football coach. It's just I couldn't live without the game of football. It's just an empty feeling. You know, inside, you know, I think some players and coaches, when they retire, they have that feeling. It's not necessarily the game, it's the camaraderie you build and thing of the locker room is the essence of everything.
Freddie Kitchens, my guest, he's the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. So you start coaching at Division II Glenville State in Glenville, West Virginia. What were those days like?
Oh, still to this day, I don't know if I've had as much fun coaching in my life. You know, one red light in the county. A couple of restaurants, picked up rocks on the field before you started practice so no one got hurt. You know, it was the mecca of college football at the time for me. So it was great. Made a lot of great people. And again, worked for Rick Trickett, which I also followed LSU after that for Coach Saban.
All right, some other guys you mentioned also, Gene Stallings, Sylvester Croom, Woody McCorvey. These are the types of guys that showed you the game of football. They showed you that it's more than just the X's and O's. What did you learn from them about being a coach?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, this is a people business, Jim, and anybody that thinks any different, they're wrong. You know, you have to find what makes players tick. to do that, you've got to find what makes the person tick. And that's what, you know, I've always tried to do. You've got to build relationships. You got to earn trust and respect. Trust and respect is going to be the cornerstone of everything we do here. And to get that trust and respect now, you've got to be able to have tough communications with people at times and talk about topics that players and people don't want to talk about. And so to do those, that requires the trust. And you earn trust by getting to know the person, you know, and get to know the person, you've got to talk to them about more than just the power. You know, you got to talk to them about them and about their life and their families and what's important to them. Everybody's got something important to them. You got to figure out what it is.
Freddie Kitchens joining us, and this is why the word that keeps coming up when people describe you is authentic. So how important is that as a head coach? I mean, you play the game, so you know. How important is it as a head coach that your players know that you are authentic? You know, and not that kind of bull crap where you pretend to be authentic, but you are authentic and the connection is real.
Well, I don't know what the, you know, Jim, honestly, I don't know what the big deal is about that. I thought that's what you were supposed to be as a person and as a coach and anything you do. I don't see the big deal in that. I didn't learn any other way other than to be authentic. And, you know, I don't know how to go about things any differently.
That's great. No extra credit for doing what you're supposed to do. No extra credit for being authentic. So
that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Freddie Kitchens, my guest. Now, the work that you and Baker Mayfield did was really amazing in the sense that it wasn't just amazing, it was unprecedented given that you took over midseason. How do you explain the fact that the two of you were able to get on the same page so quickly and be as productive as you were so quickly?
Well, again, I think it started with trust. You know, for someone to trust you, they have to know that you have their best interest in mind. And once they know that, then they know you're not going to BS them or anything from the standpoint of doing something that maybe affects you a little more than them. I mean, at the end of the day, the game of football, sometimes coaches forget that the game of football is played by the players. It's not by the coaches. So everything you do has to is going to impact the player either negatively or positively. And hopefully we're doing it more positively around here than anything else.
All right, so as one quarterback looking at another quarterback, when you look at Baker Mayfield, what do you see? What makes him so unique?
It's all the intangibles. You know, everything, you look at the kid, and he's not supposed to be as good as he is. And it's all the intangibles, and that's the things you can't judge. There's been plenty of guys that's come through the league and even in college, and you see them in high school ball all over the place that have tremendous talent. And the thing that separates those guys are the intangibles, the toughness, the competitiveness, the work ethic, all the little things that you can't judge by going to Indianapolis at the combine.
Freddie Kitchens, my guest for another moment or so. Freddie, I want to ask you about something that happened in 2013 when you were with the Cardinals, and one day you were feeling dizzy. The story goes that Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton called the trainers over, and you were taken to the ER. It was discovered that you had a tear in your aorta. What do you remember about that day and the impact it had on you and your family?
Well, I really remember everything about it. You know, it was just kind of a weird experience, you know, knowing that what could happen. But, you know, you're laying in a situation like that, Jim, and you don't really – I know me personally, I don't think you ever – you're not thinking about the things you regret doing. You're more so thinking about the things that you regret not doing. And what I got out of that situation more than anything was how – I may have meant what I may have meant to other people. And, you know, ever since that day, you know, I don't think you want to go to bed at night or you know, you never know. You never know when the last time you're going to see someone is. So they need to know how you feel about them. And they need to know, you know, they're going to know you well enough you're having that conversation to begin with. So make sure they know how you feel about them.
Browns head coach Freddie Kitchens, my guest. So everybody got a chance to see what the Browns offense looked like under you. What is that entire Browns team going to look like under Freddie Kitchens? What do you want people to think of when they think of the Cleveland Browns going forward?
Well, hopefully we go out and play with a lot of passion and energy and toughness. Those are things that require no ability whatsoever. And then we'll try to take everybody's skill set, see what they do well, and do that. I thought that was part of coaching. But, you know, and that's all we did in the second half of the season was do those things. And, you know, it worked. But, again, it all goes back to the player. The player has to be willing to accept teaching, accept learning, accept the work and stuff that it takes to put in just to get to the game on Sunday. And then you have to be able to perform. And everything always goes back to the player. We're just the mechanism of delivering the means to get it done.
He's coached in the NFL for the past 13 seasons, now gets an opportunity to be a head coach with the Cleveland Browns. My guest, Freddie Kitchens. Freddie, I know you get a lot of requests, a lot of media requests. I really appreciate you saying yes to this one. Great to have you on this show, and really nice to talk to you, Freddie.
Yes, sir. You too, Jim. Take care of yourself, buddy.
You too. Coach, great talking to you. You take care of yourself. I appreciate you. Freddie Kitchens, I appreciate the hell out of him. I did before the conversation, and now even more. Browns fans, you got to feel good about that. You have to like what you hear. That's America's team, and that is America's coach right there. They're coming off a 7-8-1 season, and he made really clear, you know, that's nothing to be happy about. That's nothing to be excited about. We have a plan. We're headed in the right direction, but we need to be better than 7-8-1. And notice he was not, was the moment not bigger than him, he didn't seem to understand what the big deal was about any of that. I love the answer about, I'm not really sure why everybody's making a big deal out of me being, quote, authentic. I thought we were all supposed to be authentic. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be? Honest, authentic, straight up. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Shoot straight. Love it. All right, so my thanks to the Browns and Freddie Kitchens for making that happen. 1-800-636-8686. Rest of the show sets up like this. Bruce Feldman coming up next hour. Open phones right now. This is an easy day to call. Chiefs and Pats, what's going to happen? Saints and Rams, what is going to happen? Browns fans, you can come in here. Your head coach just came on. In addition to all that, I want to say something about Philadelphia. Philly nice. Philadelphia nice. The city not only is not running Alshon Jeffrey out of town for that drop, they're rallying around him. Something changed. Maybe that Lombardi. Maybe the fact that he helped them win that Lombardi by playing banged up last year. But Philly is not going Philly fan on Jeffrey the way I thought they would. Nick Saban not only lost another key assistant, but lost another key assistant and didn't even know he left. Hawk is going to be a second-time parent any second now. I may check in on him. But before I can get to any of those things, I do owe you a sports update. Here is...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Comes right down to this. One more win is all it takes to punch your ticket to Atlanta and Super Bowl 53 on CBS. Tom Brady and the Pats going to KC to take on the Chiefs and their phenom, Patrick Mahomes. Coverage of the AFC Championship game is presented by Intuit. TurboTax Live kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram Trucks, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific on CBS. When you look at the final four teams, it's really no surprise. You look at the NFC, the Rams and the Saints were going back and forth all year long for that top seed. You knew it was going to be them, right, coming out of the NFC? In the AFC, the Chiefs, the team to beat, that's not a surprise. Those three were like no-brainers. And then despite what Tom Brady and Julian Edelman would tell you, is there any surprise that New England's back? That's 8 conference championship games in a row. So there's no surprise at all that this is the final four. 4 best teams, 4 most deserving teams. That said, none of those 4 are America's team. The Browns are America's team because of what they brought to it every single week, because of how compelling they are, because you can't take your eyes off that team. You can't take your eyes off them because of the way they play, the way they won, even the way they lost, the drama, the way they turned it around, their quarterback, their coach, who's America's coach. They're America's team. They're not one of the final four. They were under 500. They are America's team, and that was America's coach. If I could buy stock in Freddie Kitchens, I would load up. I'd buy everything I could right now. Buy it while it's low, because that guy's stock is going to go up every single day. Right guy, right time, great hire. They've had some really sketchy hires. Not that one. That is a brilliant hire. Can't wait to see what he does full-time with that gig. And the emails represent that. This email says, holy crap, top 1% guy, quality. I hope the Browns take full advantage of that hire. JR in the 414, War America's coach. I think they will. I think they will. I think they know what they were getting when they hired him. Now, get out of his way. John Dorsey knows. He knows what he has in Freddie Kitchens. Let him do his thing. And Freddie gets it, right? I love, you want to know what's authentic. Is there anything more authentic than saying, I don't get what the big deal is about being authentic? That was another great answer. What's more authentic than a guy saying, what's the big deal about being authentic? The other thing is, I love the point that he's hammered home. It's about the players. It's about the players and putting them in a position to be the best they can be. I mean, guys say that, right? But how many really mean it? On Twitter also, he hit a home run. The OSU 90s tweets, great interview with new Browns head coach Freddie Kitchens. Playoffs or bust. Eisman 34 tweets, wow, man. I'm all Packers all the time, but really hard not to pull for a guy like Freddie Kitchens. What a quality dude. It's a Packer fan hyping him up. Ace in Chico tweets, I wish our coach was half the man as Mr. Kitchens. Signed the Raiders. At Hitman Canadian tweets, Jim, congrats to Mrs. Hawk, who will soon be raising 3 kids. Speaking of which, Hawk, go ahead, put them on. Is the wife ready to be raising 3 kids, Hawk?
I guess. I mean, if you consider me a kid, then yes, she's very ready to raise 3 kids. But I'm ready to help.
Well, that's big of you, Hawk. Way to go. You did create that child. You did plant that seed. You probably should help.
And I will.
All right, so bring me up to date. Where does this stand right now?
This could happen any moment. The due date's the 20th. The doctor that we saw yesterday says be prepared for this to happen within the next 24 hours. So we think that this is probably going to happen either right after the show or sometime this weekend. If not, there's a plan in place to make sure that it happens no later than the 22nd.
Right, so 22nd is what, Tuesday or Monday?
Tuesday.
So Tuesday, so your last day. If this does not happen over the weekend, you plan on working on Monday?
Correct, absolutely.
Okay, so you're going to be a father, which is great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hopefully that is all well and safe and healthy and great. You're going to miss the remote on Wednesday.
Yes.
You're going to miss our Super Bowl coverage.
Yes.
Bro, do you have a calendar app?
I do.
Next time you go to plant that seed, maybe you look at the calendar.
No, I know. That was a bad decision on my part. James Kelly, who is a football degenerate, said to me when he found out that...
Or just a degenerate.
Yeah, just a degenerate. He said to me when he found out that we were possibly having the child during the NFL conference championship games, he said, quote, and I wrote this down, I would drop her off tonight and make sure that thing comes out before Sunday. I wouldn't miss those games. And that's James Kelly.
Well, unlike you, he's about the job. Unlike you, he's good at his job. Unlike you, he's committed. Hawk, listen, I don't want to put any pressure on you because I know what it's like to have a child. I know what it's like to have 2 children. I know you're probably thinking to yourself, man, that's going to cost a lot of money. I got to be responsible. But bro, you're just not good enough at your job to be having kids during the most important month of the year. You got to look at a calendar.
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree, and
I mean,
apologize.
Plan your work. Plan your work, work your plan.
There was
none of that going on.
I'm just not that good at math, and with the calendar rolling over...
Dude, you're not that good at anything.
With the calendar rolling over the way it did, I did not anticipate that this would happen in January.
What does that mean? With the calendar rolling over the way it did, I did not anticipate this happening in January. This is pretty easy, Hawk. Like, you consummate the act, and you look at the calendar 9 months from then, and then it happens. What do you mean?
Well, not to get too personal, but you never know when the act is going to take.
You never know when the act is going to take. Okay, Hawk.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I guess. I guess you know when the act is going to happen, but you don't. Yeah, that's true. It's fair. You don't really know when the act is going to take, and I won't get too personal because I understand that the act doesn't always take. And for some families and couples, it is more difficult for the act to take.
Correct. That wasn't the case here. It took too quick, if you will.
You're an idiot, man. So if that wasn't the take, then why didn't you plan a better time to have this child?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I got no reason for
anything.
Anything. Yeah, that's true. No reason for anything.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
And good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
And while I'm on the topic, good luck with that, Hawk. All right. So this could happen any second. It could happen before the end of this show. It could happen before the end of the day. If it does not happen, they have a planned C-section. That would be on Tuesday. clones, mark this down. Tuesday is the day they go and get the kid, unless it happens before then. Wednesday is the day we go to Torrey Pines. That weekend is the weekend I go to Atlanta. And I'll be broadcasting all week long from Radio Row, radio show, TV show. I'm going to do something for the NFL on CBS. I don't know exactly what that's going to be on Super Bowl Sunday. And then Hawk will be the dad, the double dad. Have fun with that, Hawk.
Double.
This goes back to early in the program at PHX. Nola Girl, Tracy tweets, Nola only needs to watch out for C.J. Anderson because he's going to eat all the damn po' boys before anybody else can get some. Hashtag who dat. Stop disrespecting this guy. He's the fatback, and he knows it. He said it. Johnny Scab tweets, Jimmy, Edelman shouldn't be writing checks. His ass cannot cash. Signed, Chris Hansen. You see, Hansen's looking at an eviction, too. He's looking at an eviction from his New York City apartment. So he didn't just float a couple of checks. My man might be out on the street with IRA soon.
I am Chris Hansen.
And Ryan on H-Town tweets, forget Rams v. Saints. The real matchup this weekend is CJ v. Beignets in Atufe. Oh, he'll win. He'll win that matchup. And finally, Romy, my fellow Chiefs fans have been letting the kingdom down with all these garbage calls this week. But Sunday will be the day that the Lamar Hunt Trophy will come home. EB29 is starting, and the Super Blood Wolf Moon will be shining over Arrowhead Stadium, giving the superpowers patty cakes, probably doesn't need, and Patriot fans can take their dumb underdog shirts and wipe their frozen tears. This is the year. War Trevor Price keeping Kansas City out of his gross ass mouth. Goose in Wichita. He says this is the year. Rome, War Hawks marathon training after having a second child. Unless he runs to the store to get more diapers, he won't be needing those overpriced sneakers. Casey in New Hampshire, two-time dad. It changes. The second time is definitely different. And I wouldn't even know about the third time. I stopped after two. Casey in New Hampshire, what he's saying, Hawk, is you won't be training for anything other than being a dad once you have a second one. All right, let's go to the phones. What do you like here, Hawk? You screened him. Let's go to Maine. Tyler in Maine, right to the front of the line. Tyler, how are you?
Pretty good, Jim. How you doing?
Good, bud. Great.
All right, so first off, I just, even though people are making fun of him for his planning, I just want to say congratulations to Hawk and best wishes with you and the baby. But first thing I want to get to is I think that was an absolutely outstanding interview with Freddie Kitchens. I've been a diehard football fan my whole life, and even more than good football, I love passionate football. And I said as soon as Baker Mayfield came up for the draft, that's going to be the quarterback that can change the Browns franchise. And now I think they got the head coach to go with them. Those two together are going to be absolutely great Browns fans. You should really, really put your eggs in that basket because I think it's going to work out well for you. And this is coming from a lifelong Rams fan, so I know what one quarterback and one coach can do to change the whole projection of your franchise. Moving on from that, I want to see what your take is. I've been listening to a lot of people talk about these championship games coming up this weekend, but nobody is really bringing up the revenge aspect. Both the Rams and the Chiefs lost to the other opponent that they're playing this weekend, and I can't remember another time, another season in recent NFL history where an elite team like these two teams have lost to the same team twice in one season. They can lose to a team once here and there, but very rarely do they lose to the same team twice in the same season. Their revenge games always comes back to the team that lost.
I think that's a really good call, Tyler. Let me jump in because I'm down to about 60 seconds. I don't think that revenge is a major motivational factor. I mean, they are 60 minutes from playing for the Lombardi, so they don't need that something extra. Oh, wait a minute. The Patriots do. That's why they're making out shirts or making up shirts that say bet against us. That's why Tom Brady is looking into a camera post-game and saying, everybody thinks we suck. We can't beat anybody. See, you know what? Maybe they do look for that edge. To me, it's not a big determinant. I think it is tough to beat any NFL team twice in one season, much less teams that are this good. All right, more on that as we go to hour number three. Bruce Feldman coming up next hour, too.